You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Series Edition.
So we said to Bruce Fordyce, congratulations on your new book, which he wrote during the lockdown, by the way. And then we said, you know, most people can run a 5 kilometer race. Just look at the popularity of something he's absolutely proud of, which is the park runs. And that a lot of these can upgrade easily to, you know, a 10 kilometer run and maybe even be able to do a half marathon, a 21 kilometer race. But not everyone will progress to run a full marathon. And so we said to him, let's do a series on running a marathon. So today we bring you a brand new series. It's on running. And this is with the man who is the 9-time Comrades Marathon winner. And he is running royalty. He's written several books over the years. But his most recent book, Winged Messenger, Running Your First Comrades Marathon, is a book that is particularly for those comrades novices. And he tells his story of how he got into running. And he was this young man who was at Wits University at a very tumultuous time in our country. And this was in 1976. So we, of course, know 76 is synonymous with June 16 and the protest that we saw there. He was part of the student body that was protesting out of the university. And he decided that he needed something, you know, to direct energy, something to really dive into. And that's when he started running. And in the following year of 1977, he was participating in his first Comrades, though he won his first one. I think it's what, 5 years later. So he joins us throughout this month as we bring you a series on running, and we're breaking it up into various episodes. So as a runner, whether you are new to running, whether you plan on starting running, whether you want to graduate to a marathon, or you're a seasoned runner, we hope that this series will serve your needs. And I know it's a broad spectrum of people, but we hope the series will serve your needs with Bruce Fordyce. Good afternoon, Bruce. It's lovely to have you join us for what will be a regular Tuesday conversation. How are you doing?
Afternoon, Zanya. Yeah, I'm great, thanks. And I can't believe I'm doing this. I think the last time we chatted, I was in the studio with you.
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
Yes, absolutely. And how things have changed. In fact, you used your time in lockdown to do a book that you'd been meaning to do, which is to focus completely on the novice.
Yes, you see, I think all of us have a book inside us. You know, I think when you talk to people, they nod, but they don't ever find the time or the energy or the motivation to do it. And for me, lockdown has been a horrible, horrible time. But the one benefit about lockdown, obviously, we haven't been able to have a single park run, which is my absolute, not a single park run for a year. And it's one of the great community events, I think. But the one thing I was able to do was to get this book inside me out. And I thought that if I wrote a book about how to win the comrades, I would lose everybody immediately because, you know, very few people have that chance. To be quite honest with you, Zanya, you have to choose your parents correctly if you're going to win the Comrades Marathon. It's big. But I thought what I would do is write a book for people who are thinking about running a Comrades and finishing. And the best example I could use was this one young 21-year-old guy called Bruce Fordyce at Wits University in 1976 when I started running. Because I had no idea that one day I would win it. And so my plan was to finish it. And I think I have hope and I've had good feedback that I relate well to the ordinary runner because I was an ordinary student doing the things that students do, which is trying to pass my degree, socializing and partying a lot. And then last of all, taking up some sport, which for me was running.
Yes, yes. And it's called Winged Messenger. It was interesting to see that it's actually the emblem for the Comrades Marathon.
Yes, so it sounds like a very pretentious title, and I didn't mean it to be that. I think for one moment I'm the Winged Messenger. But I am a Winged Messenger along with tens of thousands of other Comrades runners because what I tried to say is that many runners don't know that the emblem, the logo, the badge on the Comrades medal and on the badge itself is Hermes. And Hermes was the winged messenger of the gods, of the Greek gods. And so I thought he was very appropriate because, first of all, Hermes is the god of the roads, but more particularly, Hermes was the messenger, and he could take messages from the old world to the new world, from the world of the dead to the world of the living. And so I extrapolated that to say, the old you, the person you are before you run Comrades Marathon, is not the same person you will be afterwards.
Oh, and yes, that's the story
we will become.
That's the story we'll be telling. Yeah.
And so that has also resonated with people who have run Comrades, because when I sign the book, I don't say well done on running Comrades. That's a bit bland. I say well done on being a winged messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that becomes our badge, that maybe if I leave something behind for Comrades, is that people who have run the race refer to themselves as winged messengers, because they've done that incredible journey from the old themselves as somebody different to the new person that they are after they finish.
Yes. So how we like to do the very first episode in our series is just to talk briefly about a little bit about our guest and then get into the first topic. So today's topic is all about the marathon, and we'll get to it through. We will talk about your life as well as looking at the marathon itself in the course of the conversation. But what gave shape to this book was actually your running diaries from 43 years ago. You kept that running diary. And the fact is, you wrote everything. I think apart from keeping the diary, is the fact that you wrote everything down.
I did. I don't know why I did that, but it was one of the very few acts of genius that I've had in my lifetime. My very first run was 10 minutes around the Bits rugby fields, and I did it at night because I didn't want anyone to see me. I was embarrassed that I knew I would walk. I would have to walk, and I did walk a couple of times. And when I got back, I wrote down 10 minutes, and I even wrote that I can hardly hold the pencil because my fingers are so cold, because it was June the 8th, 1976. And I kept a training diary ever since. I mean, I entered this morning, I wrote, I entered in my little training diary that I ran 10 kilometers with my friends, the Tyrone Harriers, which is an informal group who leave from the Tyrone, from the shops at Tyrone Avenue in Parkview. And I've never stopped. And it's turned out it was such a blessing because I was able to go back over it. And then I put notes alongside all the things that I did. As I gradually became more confident and faster, I would say this in my book, all right, this is a good training session. This is not a good training session. This is not a good idea. This is a great idea. And so I've added in that the kind of wisdom I picked up over the years. And then also as I wrote, the book metamorphosized, if I can use that word, in my mind, and I started to remember the things that happened at that time. And as you pointed out, June the 16th, 1976, there was no run on that day because we VIT students naively decided we were going to march in support of the pupils in Soweto. And for those of you who know VIT's University, we got as far as the main entrance to VIT's onto the Queen Elizabeth Bridge, which is about 400 meters, and then the only word for it, we were murdered by the police. We were smashed by the police. So, yeah, and running at that time gave me some kind of control over my destiny, some kind of sense of purpose in what for me was a world full of turmoil and uncertainty.
Yes. The fact that you did your first race at night, because, you know, the concern or thinking that someone's going to see that, you know, you're new at this, you're not a runner, that they will laugh, speaks to, I think, the nervousness of many people who hesitate to start running, especially road running. I know that the times that I've run, I run within the complex where I live, within the state where I live, because I think, okay, I know these neighbors. I know everybody who lives here.
Yes.
But if I had to go onto the road, I'd be far. I would have that self, I'd feel self-conscious.
Yes, I will. So you take the words out straight out of my mouth. I mean, that was it. I was incredibly shy and introverted. And I, you know, in those days, and also, by the way, I had long, flowing, beautiful blonde hair. So running along the road, someone would think this, you didn't see runners in the 70s. So someone would think, what is this young girl doing running down the road? So I'm so embarrassed. I thought that, but by the way, it was not a race. It was just a training run on my own. It was my first run.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are nervous, I accidentally did exactly the right thing with my first run. I ran for 10 minutes. I made it so easy that there was no problem the following day coming out and doing another 10 minutes. and 2 or 3 days later going for a massive 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the key things you have to do is make it easy. Make it so easy that you are never put off, because I can spot a novice now from, you know, from 10 kilometers away. They are hating it. They're feeling embarrassed. They are wrapped up in a full tracksuit suit, even though it's a boiling hot day, and they are huffing and puffing along and really not liking it. Mm. And the first half decent excuse they get to not run, they'll take that excuse. But I never gave myself that chance to have that excuse, because I made it so easy in the beginning. And the second thing is, yes, it is. It's tricky out there. You get shy out there in the traffic when you're a beginner, but also unfortunately and sadly, it's dangerous. Mm. And particularly for women. So it can be dangerous. So you need to run in a group. You need to have somebody with you. You need to run your route, and you can't really do what I did, which is to run at night. That's not a great idea. But run with a group. Shared discipline is a lot easier than individual discipline when you know you're meeting somebody, somebody's knocking on your door, whatever it is. And then finally set yourself a goal. So what was absolutely burned into my brain on that very first run of 10 minutes was that I was definitely going to run the following year's Comrades Marathon. There was nothing there. No, I didn't want to lose weight. I didn't want to get healthy. I was a skinny thing anyway. I was living very unhealthy lifestyle with junk food and, you know, students, quite a lot of alcohol. I wanted to run the Comrades Marathon, and that was my project, and that was set in the front of my brain every single day and gave me a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I kept going until I ran that Comrades.
Yes. So let's get into it. You know, runners go from saying during the race, why am I doing this? Why on earth am I doing this? Then after the run, they will say, I'm never doing this again. But then once they recovered, they start thinking, let me start training so that I can do it again. What is the allure with this thing called a marathon? Okay, so what is a marathon?
Yeah. So first of all, what is a marathon? Strictly speaking, the Comrades is not a marathon, and neither is the Two Oceans a marathon. Mm. They are both ultra marathons. The marathon is the precise distance from Windsor Castle to White City, where the Royal Box stood in 1908. And if that sounds really strange, let me explain. The marathon was originally a distance from the Battle of Marathon to Athens. 2,500 years ago, the Athenians defeated the Persians, the modern-day Iranians, under Darius, their king, defeated them at a place called Marathon. And it's a myth, it didn't actually happen, but they sent supposedly a messenger called Pheidippides to run back to Athens. He was a very good runner, to tell the Athenians that they had won. And he's supposed to have run across the gates of Athens into Athens, said, rejoice, we conquer, and then he died. That distance was roughly 40 kilometers. And so the marathon after that became roughly 40 kilometers. Mm-hmm. But in 1908, they decided whatever the distance that was that day, that would forever be the distance of the marathon. And it happened to be from Windsor Castle to the Royal Box, because the royal family wanted to watch the marathon runners finish. And that turned out to be 42.2 kilometers, 26 miles, 385 yards. That is actually a marathon. And that is the marathon distance. And that is the distance of those famous races, the Olympics, Boston, London, New York, Chicago. But because we South Africans are insane, we have a marathon that is double the normal distance, plus a few extra kilometers, over some of the most brutal hills you can ever run. And in preparation for the Comrades, and indeed for races like the Two Oceans, many of us run a marathon almost every single weekend. That's a 42-kilometer marathon in order to prepare for Comrades. And so that's the difference. The Comrades is not really a marathon. It should be called the Comrades Marathon, Ultra Marathon, or Insane People, because it's so... Yeah,
I agree. I agree with that. When I think of the 90 grueling kilometers, there's a lot. It's just the distance. Oh, I think I'm losing my breath just thinking about it. 90 grueling kilometers.
Yes. Well, if you're lucky, some years it's a bit shorter.
Shorter, yeah, about 89.
Mm-hmm. Some years it's a bit longer. So it's, but we always call it a 90K. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why do you think it's so popular, as in marathons and road running?
Okay, so the reason they're so popular, so for a long time after the birth of marathon running, it was really just the preserve of elite athletes and very, very fit people, and people who weren't really fast enough to win things like the mile and the 1500s. Always go up in distance. You can shine as you get to longer distances. And it's popular because in 1972, at the Munich Olympic Games, the Americans had for them a disastrous Olympic Games. They lost many of the events that they normally dominated. So they lost the basketball. They lost the pole vault that they had won every single year. But worse than that, they lost the 100 meters and the 200 meter sprints. And worse than that, to a Russian called Valery Borsov, beat the American sprinters twice. And so they were having a shocking Olympics. And then out of nowhere, an event that they never won, the men's marathon, a student from Yale University called Frank Shorter won it. Mm-hmm. And Frank won it in beautiful running. It's a lovely thing to see Frank Shorter winning the 1972 Olympics in Munich. But what was fortunate was that the TV station covering the race had hired an author called Eric Segal. And the older people here will know what I'm talking about. Eric Segal, the movie, love story. Mm-hmm. Love means having to say you're sorry, and you had to take a box of tissues because it was Ryan. What's his name? Somebody, Ryan and Ellie McGraw, and they fell in love, and it's a whole thing, and she gets cancer. Oh, it's so you cry through the whole movie. But Eric Segal was doing the commentary, and he happened to be a marathon runner. And when Frank Shorter came into the stadium to win the Munich Olympic Marathon, Eric Segal said, forget about the Rose Bowl. Forget about the World Series. Forget about the Masters. He said, this is the greatest thing to win. I would sell my soul to the devil to swap places with Frank Shorter, he said. And so thousands of Americans sat up and looked at this, and then he said, this is the greatest moment in sport, as far as I'm concerned, to win the last lap at the end of the marathon, the Olympic marathon, knowing that you're going to win. Devil, will you have my soul? And then he said, but by the way, I'm just a short, squat, ugly little guy, and I've run 3 Boston marathons, and I've finished, and you can too. You can't run as fast as Frank is running, but you can feel like Frank. You can feel like a winner when you finish your first marathon, or indeed when you finish any marathon. And the following day, hundreds and thousands of Americans started running. And that is the beginning of the running boom.
That's incredible.
As with all things in those days, it hit South Africa about 5 years later, mm-hmm. and our marathon, the Comrades.
That's incredible because my mom loves the Comrades. I mean, every single year it would be on our TV screens. But of course, there would be a curiosity about who is leading. But I must say that what makes for the fun moments is watching the people, the ordinary people, you know, who are 5 hours into it, you know, starting to struggle, fighting to get there and to win before the cutoff, or to get through before the cutoff, and so on. So it's the stories of the ordinary people, the sight of the ordinary people fighting to make it past that finish line that I think best captivates the minds. Yes, they're the winners, people like you who make the records and so on. But I think what keeps us for the rest of the day is just ordinary people who want to also feel that exhilaration that they've achieved this accomplishment.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt, you'll get somebody who runs 10 hours who will be happier than the person who won. Because perhaps the person who won didn't break the record and they were hoping to, or whatever it might be. And without a doubt, the most dramatic moment in the Comrades Marathon is not the winner coming in. I mean, that's wonderful to watch. It's wonderful to have done it. I can't actually believe that I've done it. But without a doubt, the most dramatic moment is the final cutoff gun, mm-hmm. and those who are desperately, desperately trying to throw themselves at the line. And I've had to fire the cutoff gun. They choose different people to do it. I've had to do it 1 year, and I never want to do it again because it is too horrible to pull the trigger on somebody who's 3 or 4 steps from the finish, and all they get is a handshake, a photograph in the newspaper the next morning, and an official saying, bad luck, come back next year. Oh. But that is truly the dramatic part. In fact, in my book, when I wrote that it wasn't, I watched the 1976 Comrades on television. They didn't show it live in those days. They showed it about 2 weeks later, the package version. And it wasn't Alan Robb winning, he won that year, that inspired me, because I had no idea that one day Alan and I would be great rivals and great friends. It was the ordinary runners crossing the line who inspired me, because I remember sitting there thinking, well, if that guy can do it, he doesn't look like an athlete at all, and he's finishing, then surely I can do it. And so they inspired me more than Alan Robb and the other fast guys in the front.
Yes, yes. And the character of the race has changed quite a bit, because you started in 1976. You've run many races. There was a time when family could run alongside, could drive alongside the runners as they ran on the road. So it's changed quite a lot over the decades.
Well, it's changed. I think, you know, some of the traditions remain the same, thank goodness. And it's the same road between Pietermaritzburg and Durban, more or less. But yes, for starters, there were 1,200 of us at the start. Now there's 25,000. There was no prize money. That's a bit of a bitter subject for those of us who won in those days. Your family drive alongside you in their car and hand your drinks out of the window. In fact, my one friend, Derek Rahl, who's a leading cardiologist in the world now, he wanted to drop out of the race and climb into the car and go home. And his family locked the doors of the car and drove. Overhead 10 kilometers, I said, in 10K's time, if you still want to drop out, you can. But we're not letting you drop out now.
That's love. That's love.
there was no Chariots of Fire at the start.
Mm.
Why? Because the movie was only made in 1981. So the Vangelis hadn't created the music yet. There was a different national anthem.
Mm.
There were a handful of women and black runners, because they had only been permitted to run the race the year, 2 years before, 1975. It was still essentially a white male race. And it was, very, very different. Your medal was posted to you from the SA Mint about 10 days after the race. You received your medal. I think the entry fee was R4. And to fly down, stay in a hotel and fly back. Alan Robb showed me his scrapbook. It cost 75 rand to fly down, have two nights in a hotel and fly back. That was a very different race in those days.
Absolutely. We've got a quick call from John in Sandton, who's been listening in. Hello, John.
Hi, Azane. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the series on running. Yes.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. This is a bittersweet moment for me. So, so I'm trying to hold back the tears. I'm enamored of the Comrades Marathon. All right. Hi, Bruce.
I met
a couple of times at the expo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I think that the point that I just wanted to make was that, and without having to wax metaphorical about the Comrades Marathon, the Comrades Marathon is more mental than it is physical. All right. And this has been my experience having run it seven times, that a lot of the time, the people that I see along the road, all right, who've sort of like given up, all right.
Defeated mentally, given in mentally.
They've defeated mentally first before the actual physical ailment, you know, kicks in. And I've experienced the same, all right. But what it is for me is that it's a perfect metaphor for life. Because, I mean, you can start off, you know, on a high in the morning and, you know, by midday, you know, you're asking yourself all sorts of questions because you've thought about all the memories from when you were a little kid, all right, right up to that moment and your preparation, and you've run out of thought. But all you just have to do at that point in time, all right, is think about, you know, the crazy stuff. You start asking yourself questions like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so for me, I think that it is more mental than it is physical.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much. We're going to have a couple of episodes, of course, and we're going to have a two-part on training and preparing for a marathon. So the middle episodes will be all focused on training and preparing for a marathon, because I'm already getting questions on that. Langer, for instance, says, please ask your guest what is his training routine for a person who intends to run Comrades or a marathon. So Langer, just hang in there. We are going to do that in coming weeks. And Bruce, you are of the view that anyone can run a marathon.
Yes, please tell Langer to get hold of my book.
Yes.
Because that's
it's all there.
Exactly what to do. I don't know what to do.
It's all
I'm
there.
Not trying to sell copies of my book, but it's right there. And it's about a young guy who did not think he was going to win. Mm. And it's a just finished comrades. Because I chose my parents correctly and I was genetically suited, I ran a silver medal first time, but it's still an ordinary run with an ordinary training program that's not insane. I look forward to putting some advice about how to train for
Absolutely.
Things. And what your previous listener
mm-hmm.
question, yeah, because the way that I make sure that I'm not asking myself too many of those questions at the end is to, and I put it in the book, a marathon, you start like a coward and you finish like a hero. So you start very slowly and conservatively and you conserve your energy, and then you'll find you are going really well at the end, and there is nothing quite as nice. I don't like to see other people's misery, but there's nothing better than passing people at the end because it gives you such a boost. That's the way you run any marathon.
Right. Well, Bruce, we have to leave it there, but a beautiful note
yes.
nonetheless. And we pick this up again next week, Tuesday at 2. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. Yes. Thank you, Zani.
Thank you. And that is Bruce Fordyce joining us for our April series on running marathons. And his book is called Winged Messenger. And it's got all the advice that novices need. It's Winged Messenger, Running Your First Comrades Marathon.